Hello, you are listening to KBOO Portland. I am guest host Kristen Derryberry with Art Focus. This week we are talking with Lev Anderson with National's newest show, Who Am I Anyway? The Works of Carola Penn. The show is up now at National until March 31st. So hi, Lev, how's it going?
Hi there, it's going well.
Yeah, holding up during this time. So.
Yeah, trying to stay healthy.
Yeah. So I was able to hop down the show a couple weeks ago, and it got me really excited. So my first question is really out of my own curiosity of how the show came into fruition, and I just want to give you the space to discuss Carola Penn and her life and your relationship to her.
Yeah, so Carola is my mother, and she moved up here to Portland in 1969. She and my dad met at Berkeley, and when they graduated, they made their way up here. So she's a longtime Portland resident. You know, she went to PNCA for art school, was just pretty immersed in the local scene here for a long time. And, I grew up, me and my sister grew up with her, you know, going to all her studios and art functions and everything else. And, you know, it was a fun way to grow up. But she was kind of a prolific painter here in Portland, and with a whole wide range of work. And the way the show at National happened was my mother was actually in touch with May before she passed. My mother passed almost a year ago in April last year. And May, I think, was in touch with her about doing something with the Stumptown Artist Fellowship, you know, and they show work at the downtown cafe. And she was going to do a studio visit, but then it just got to a point where my mom was too sick to go to the studio. Which was difficult, but she kept painting at home, little watercolors in her notebooks and stuff. After my mother passed, a few months later, May came over and did a studio visit, and she was kind of blown away by these pieces that are called like the Second Childhood series that are now on exhibition at National. There's a lot of stuff on the website, you know, and she was looking at other things, and then these second childhood pieces really caught her attention. And they're just these kind of, my mom talked about them as kind of ways of working through her childhood memories of like growing up in the 50s. You know, her parents were first generation immigrants. So a lot of the paintings are kind of around growing up in a family of, you know, first generation Americans, and then also, being a woman, you know, domestic life, what was expected of women professionally, you know, just, you know, growing up as a girl in the 50s. And so these paintings kind of create this language for her to, I think, address some of these issues.
It was really nice to step into the space itself, the new space at National, which is, the lighting is impeccable. And everything. I would like for you to explain how you chose the pieces specifically, kind of a minimalist show and very streamlined, and how you decided on doing the layout, the curation behind it.
Well, that most of that was up to May. May, the owner of National, she came and picked out the paintings and wanted to keep them, you know, didn't want to get it too busy, because sometimes, like, my mother showed some of these paintings once before, and they were, you know, kind of shown in grids of like, you know, six or nine together. And some of them are meant to be in grids, not ones that are in this show, but some of them were, you know, she had a series of, like a grid series called Parents Come With Baggage, you know, and those are all usually displayed together. But May chose these paintings. I think these are just ones that really spoke to her. And I like the layout because, like you said, there's this great natural light there. And I like that you can kind of look at each of these pieces on their own and not kind of be overwhelmed by so many images.
You kind of just spoke about this already. The theme of the show, if you wanted to say anything that was left out previously, we can talk about the theme, overall theme, or the theme of her work that you've noticed.
Well, I think, you know, my mother was a painter first and foremost. So she, you know, she has these paintings that are kind of whimsical and, you know, almost cartoony in a way. But then, like, she has other paintings that are just totally abstract and other paintings that are of forest landscapes. Like, she has some forest paintings up at the airport right now. And then some other stuff, like her older work, is really kind of dark and kind of these clashing images of urban life and nature and kind of, you know, interior emotionality and getting played out in these kind of different ways. And so the work is all kind of different, but the commonality is, you know, she was really a painter. She loved the textures and colors, and these paintings are just the same, but they're kind of these, you know, there's these little Lulu characters. Little Lulu was the character in the red dress with the dark curly hair. It used to be a comic book, like in the 50s and 60s, you know, kind of like a tomboyish kind of, you know, rascal character in Lulu, right? And so I think it's my mom reimagining herself kind of as Lulu and, you know, dealing with some of these issues of identity, of being a woman. And sometimes, you know, some of the, you see her like, you know, showing, you know, like a fairy queen and fairy god grandmother or godmother or whatever, or little Lulu kind of carrying this blonde bride. And like, you know, I know my mom was kind of always, she told me towards the end of her life that she was always kind of jealous of her sister because her sister was blonde and she felt like she got all the attention, you know?
Yeah.
So these are some of the issues that get kind of worked out, you know, and then also just kind of like women's place in society, you know, as caregiver and as magician in a way, like these kind of fairy godmother things are, you know, like they kind of create magic in a way or have to, or, you know, there's this other picture of like the little Lulu character holding, you know, like plates, like trays of food, like a waitress, but kind of dancing with ballerina shoes. And that's because my sister said at one point when she was a little girl that she wanted to grow up to be a ballerina waitress. So these are the kinds of, you know, the images and ideas that she was working through with these. And then, or there's another one of the little Lulu character pushing a shopping cart with a bunch of male heads in it, like various male heads floating around and piled in the shopping cart. And that was inspired by Smokey Robinson and the Miracles song, "You Better Shop Around." You know, like, my mama told me, you know, you better shop around before you pick, you know, marry the right person or whatever. So those were I think the issues that kind of flow in and out of these specific paintings.
Yeah, there's a whimsy about it, definitely, and the use of bright colors. It's a very vibrant show.
It gave her a chance. Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
In the piece Losing Paradise specifically, it just like draws the audience in with the bright red. If you wouldn't mind talking about that piece in particular, it is a triptych. It is a triptych piece. And it's huge versus her smaller pieces. So if you have any insight on that piece in particular, I would love to hear it.
Yeah, well, that piece, like, I don't think normally would be shown with the second childhood pieces, but thematically and like the colors you were talking about, like the bright reds and greens and yellows kind of fit the other stuff. And And I think it's also just kind of about, you know, domesticity and gender roles and, you know, other social, you know, trappings maybe that we get into. So it is a triptych, and it's kind of, you know, it's meant to be kind of like the Hieronymus Bosch triptych, right? Where one is like heaven, one is purgatory, and one is hell. Or, you know, but it's also like calling back to Gauguin's paintings with these really kind of floral, idealized, like people in their natural state kind of thing, you know. But, you know, the woman, Eve, is sitting there knitting, and Adam is sitting there with a cup of coffee. And, you know, and then in the next panel, there's like this old vacuum cleaner with a long hose and nozzle next to, you know, a coiled up snake, which I'm not totally sure what that all means, but I do remember that we used to have a vacuum cleaner that looked kind of like that. And you'll also see, it's funny because that kind of vacuum cleaner appears. It's not in the show, but there is this other second childhood painting where it's the little Lulu color using the vacuum cleaner to suck up dandelions outside. and then the final panel of that is kind of more about the society, kind of the fall of society. I think, you know, climate change, environmentalism kind of issues and kind of personal confusion or schizophrenia, you know, kind of comes out kind of in a cartoonish way in the third panel of Losing Paradise. But it's a great painting, and it's kind of more like her other work. You know, the second childhood stuff is almost like, you know, its own thing, and then that piece is kind of a bridge to what she does with her other work. Like another example is, you know, she's got this piece that I love just called Sobey's Island. And it's, you kind of feel like the swampy wetland area of Sobey's Island. But then like right in the middle of it is this black asphalt road, you know, with the traffic stripes on it running right through the middle of it. And that's a triptych too, right? So, so that one is, you know, more related to some of her other works, but it definitely like color, texture, kind of cartoony theme is definitely related to the other stuff at the National Show.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. I am guest host Kristen Derryberry with Art Focus. This week we are talking with Lev Anderson with National's newest show, Who Am I Anyway? The works of Carola Penn. The show is up now at National until March 31st. I would also... The pieces that I really enjoyed as an ex-painter and now video artist are the Van Gogh pieces. Pieces that are in the show are so iconically Van Gogh. And if someone has any idea of like art history, they have a reference to that. Even if they don't know it's specifically Van Gogh, they're like, wait, I've seen this before. And it's her own rendition of it. And it just like made me delighted in a way. And also it made me wonder, what is her connection to Van Gogh specifically? So if you want to just talk about those pieces too, that would be wonderful.
Yeah. I wish I knew more specifically why she did those, pieces, but I know she liked Van Gogh because I know we've got a lot of Van Gogh books at home, and I think, you know, just his kind of painterly style, just those brush strokes that he does, you know, the colors, kind of, you know, how these things all kind of have an animism to them, you know, like the bed kind of looks alive almost, the sunflowers look kind of otherworldly in a way. They're definitely, you know, kind of an homage to Van Gogh. And then she places the little Lulu character in these paintings, which, you know, I think it's just to kind of identify as a kindred spirit in a way. That was probably one of the first artists that she was really drawn to when she was younger. And that influence stuck with her. And I think... this was just kind of a way to kind of cozy up with Van Gogh and, kind of relate to him in a way.
You also talked about these, but the Untitled, which takes up the whole other space. I would like for us to talk about those and more specifically, if you wanted to talk about ones that you haven't mentioned before. Also, her use of unconventional media, such as glitter, I've noticed, and little embellishments on the painting, too, if you have any insight.
Yeah, I mean, she was really kind of a master of her medium. I mean, she painted primarily with acrylics, but she would mix in all kinds of gels, and she would mix in, like, sawdust or tissue paper. I've seen, like, tinfoil, you know, in her work. And the glitter, I think, you know, kind of fits around that sort of, you know, I think the mermaid has, like, glitter, like a glitter bra or something, you know, just to kind of, like, make even that more sexy mermaid even more alluring or something. I'm not sure. And, you know, the fairy godmother looks like she's kind of like, you know, tossing up glitter or magic dust in the air. And I think, you know, some of these paintings are just kind of about these kind of mythologies that we have that and how they can kind of relate to our childhood ideas of, like, people in our families, like mother figures or you know, young women or something. I'm not really sure. I know that these mythologies, you know, it's kind of like this magical thinking that will, you know, resonate with, you know, your inner development as a child. I mean, I'm not really sure, you know,
yeah.
I mean, that's how she would describe. I mean, I remember her one time kind of describing, you know, she had this artist statement for some grant she was proposing, that I was helping her edit the artist statement. And she said, what did she say? She said, like, about these second childhood paintings, that she had this secret knowledge she gleaned from making mud pies and making sand castles. So I think, you know, kind of working with the materials.
Yeah,
that makes sense. You know, kind of in this, like, way of, like, oh, I'm not necessarily making an art piece, but I'm making an expression of something with this stuff that I have around me, you know. And so she was very much about the materials, and just kind of found these playful ways to introduce them, you know, the glitter and everything else, in a way that's not, like, cheesy or you know, out of left field necessarily.
Yeah, it's a reference point to childhood, but it doesn't come off as juvenile, if that makes sense.
They also reminded me of my sister. She's kind of an artist herself, and, you know, I remember her always, like, drawing these, like, fictional soap opera characters, you know, like Blanche DuBois, and kind of done in these same ways, like, you know, fancy frilly dresses and stuff. And I wouldn't be surprised if that even influenced my mom, too, because I know there were a couple other paintings she did that was influenced by things that I did artistically, you know, as a kid.
Yeah,
so.
And then there are three other pieces that are in the front, if I'm correct, over the desk. And I don't remember what those were. Do you remember what those were?
One of them is the shop around one with the shopping cart, and then maybe the other one that might be the Little Lulu character getting a haircut at a barber shop, and neither her or the barber look very happy. Another painting, you know, or then there might be also the one with the shopping cart with all, like, the toilet paper and everything piled up. A lot of my mom's paintings, you know, not just these second childhood paintings, but a lot of the other ones incorporate shopping carts as this, you know, symbol for, I think, consumerism and whatnot. But and then there's also the other curious one that I hadn't seen, honestly, until we were looking through paintings with May, You know, because my mom would go to the studio every day, and then we just kind of kept it locked up to store her work and show work and stuff. And she's got paintings all over the place. But this one, there was this other one found of this, it's like a woman posing nude for like an art class, you know. With and you see all these men behind their canvases looking at this woman naked. And, you know, I mean, it's a funny piece to include in the show, but it's also, you know, I think still part of this idea of the feminine, and then also, you know, in art too, how women have been depicted in art as well, I imagine. I don't know.
That piece is pretty deep for me because, you know, you talk about the female gaze, she's looking away from the audience, and the male is looking, so it's like the male gaze is literally looking at the audience. But it's also like a practice that artists go through is like nude modeling, figure drawing, and also just the work of art, you feel vulnerable, you feel naked. And so I feel like that piece in particular hits that vein and in multiple veins in one piece, which is really powerful.
One small kind of roughly done piece that's kind of amazing, right?
yeah. And you wouldn't think that, you know, just first glance, you're like, oh, okay, it's that. But what is it about? And her pieces, I think, invite that. Like, what story are you going to tell yourself? And what are the stories of these paintings? Where did they come from? Who made them? And that's exciting. And it's something that we don't see often in shows anymore, is that curiosity. And to invite the viewer in to make these stories for themselves. So,
That whole audience feedback thing was actually really big with my mom. She really liked to engage the audience. In fact, she used to have a studio over on Mississippi. In fact, it was where Mississippi Records used to be, that same space. And now I think it's Warren Path or something. But she used to keep her studio open. And this is like in the late 80s, early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
This was a long time ago, when that neighborhood was quite a bit different, and there really wasn't much on that neighborhood at all, except for the market down the street. And, or at least, you know, businesses were boarded up. There was plenty going on in the neighborhood, but she would let these neighborhood kids come in. And one time a friend of mine was at the studio, this is when I was in junior high school, and I had left to go down to the store to get soda or something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was at the studio with my mom. And he said he got freaked out because he saw this big old dude coming up with a kind of very serious look on his face. And he came up to the studio door and he just started yelling. He's like, I'm going to tell you about this painting. You know, my mom had like a painting hanging up in the door, you know, in the window, you know. And he's like, I walk by this painting all the time. And, you know, he went into this whole thing about what this painting meant to him. And my mom, this is what my friend told me. I ran into him recently, and he had told me the story. And I was like, oh, my God, she would love that. You know, kind of her thing, to hear what other people thought of her painting. She was never really, you know, she had plenty of meat and content and enough of an intellectual thrust around her work. But she was never into, like, you know, bossing the audience around necessarily. She wanted to leave room for, you know, playful kind of interaction with the audience to kind of glean out what they get, you know, so it wasn't just about her. And I think that was kind of a big thing for her practice overall.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I love that. Before we end, I would like to briefly talk about the show that's coming up at Stumptown. If you have anything to say about that, if people are able to go out with caution. What they can expect for that show.
Yeah, well, that show is going to be really different. but it's kind of interesting to kind of see some of the connections. And interestingly enough, that show is also curated by May. And so here she was, the same curator, picking out like this totally different kind of body of work. And then so what's at Stumptown is mostly from that period when she was on Mississippi Street. And then in fact, there was a painting called North Mississippi in that show. It's kind of like a street view of Mississippi, and it looks like a dead zone, right? There's nothing going on. But they're very fragmentary. Like, she at one point just didn't like the idea of like working a square or rectangular canvas. And so that's when she first started painting on wood. And she would cut up pieces and put them, on panels and kind of collage them together and change them and switch out different panels with different pieces to kind of give them different meanings. And, it was really kind of radical work. And, it's kind of hard to hang, because there's these kind of wood collage pieces that are very irregular shaped. But that's what that show is, and it's very fragmentary. And I think, my mom, she never, she kind of thought in the fragments. She never had this kind of unified vision for things, but everything was kind of fragmentary, and that show really kind of reflects that. And it's a little darker in tone. I hope it's not too depressing for the Stumptown employees during the coronavirus outbreak. But they're also kind of beautiful too. And there's like one of our absolute family favorite paintings. It's called, what is it called? But it's a triptych also. And one panel is very much like a Gauguin painting of like Haitian women or something, like that kind of style, like the Paradise piece at National. But then there's a chain link fence. And then the other panel is just like giant dandelions, but it's all works together in this kind of mysterious and magical way, so that piece is in the show too. That's one of our favorites.
Yeah. Oh, that's so nice. Well, thank you so much for coming on and discussing your mom's work and everything.
Yeah. And if people are curious to see images, they can go to carolapenn.com. So it's carolapenn.com. And I really appreciate you having us. It's fun to talk about my mom's work, and I hope people can make it. I know it's really hard, and I know there's truncated hours, but I know that May also wants to be sure that people get to see the work, so there'll be some opportunities.
Yeah, we need art in times like this, so we appreciate it.
Thanks, Kristen.
Yeah, thank you so much.